Take your Bibles and turn to Exodus chapter 23. Exodus chapter 23 this evening. And as I mentioned earlier, we will be observing the Lord's Supper this evening at the end of the service, and I'll explain that a little bit more when we get down to that time. But Exodus chapter 23 in verse number 2 is going to be our jumping off point for this evening. And so we're continuing on our series, Aren't All Baptists the Same? You see a lot of churches that have the name Baptist in them, and is there a difference between different groups of Baptists? And the short answer is yes. So we've looked over the last couple of weeks. 2 weeks ago, we went over, it matters where you go to church. Amen. You go to a Bible-believing church, and here at Tabernacle Baptist Church, we strive the best way we know how to be a Bible-believing church. Then last week, we looked at Free Will Baptist. I'm trying to remember. Free Will Baptist, and how they hold the belief that you can lose your salvation through sin. And so we looked at that, how that is not scriptual, and looked at the biblical doctrine of eternal security. And so looked at that. And so this week we're going to be tackling something a little bit more broad. And so tonight we're going to look at Southern Baptists. Why aren't we in agreement with the Southern Baptist Convention? So tonight we're going to continue on with that. As remember that, we are independent Baptists. We're not a denomination or want to be part of a denomination. There's a reason for that, and that's going to be later on in my series. We're actually going to go over what that means and what the Baptist distinctives are. So we'll be looking at the Southern Baptist Convention and why we are not in agreement with them. Now, I want to remind everyone that I'm not here to disparage anyone. That's not why we're having this series. Well, we're right and they're wrong. That's not the purpose of this. And so we can be informed of where things stand today. I also understand that there are many people here today, you grew up in a Southern Baptist church. Maybe some of you were saved in a Southern Baptist church. And I'm not trying to disparage anyone, but we're going to take a look at where the Southern Baptist Convention is today and why we're not in fellowship with them. And the sad thing about it is many Southern Baptist churches today are still gospel preaching. They still preach the gospel, though they're becoming fewer and fewer. And for many of them, by the way, when I talk about Southern Baptist Convention, what I'm about to tell you tonight is not true of every Southern Baptist church. Okay, there are still some Southern Baptist churches in different parts of the South that are still as conservative as we are and are still Bible-believing, and actually they don't agree with the convention. And there are many today that are actually coming out of the convention and becoming independent Baptist churches. In the same way, there's independent Baptist churches, some out there that are more liberal than Southern Baptist churches are. So there's always exceptions to the rule. I went to, when I was a teenager, Ohio, went to a Methodist church. And it was not your typical Methodist church. It was actually Baptistic in doctrine, and they didn't agree with the stand. They were not a United Methodist church. They were just a regular, they didn't call themselves Free Methodist, but they were free. There was a Methodist church. And it was a very small church, very small congregation, but they used the King James and they preached the Bible. But they weren't associated necessarily with the denomination. So tonight we're going to look at Exodus chapter 23 and verse number 2. And the premise of this is going to be, and there's a lot of things we could talk about Southern Baptists. I'm going to talk about some things, but mainly what we're going to be talking about is worldliness. And that's what we're going to be mostly focusing on tonight. If we could stand out of respect for the reading of the Word of God, Exodus 23 and verse number 2. Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil, neither shalt thou speak in a cause to decline after many to wrest judgment. So the first part I want to focus on, thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. Just because everybody else is doing it doesn't make it right. And that tends to be how the culture works, and even some churches tend to be when they see a group of other churches going in a particular direction. Well, that's the direction we need to go in. We need to go in a direction that God says in His Word. Because God's Word doesn't change. And so when you see groups changing, almost every single time it's because they are wandering away from the Bible, and that's what the Southern Baptist Convention is doing. But let's pray and ask God to bless me before we continue tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord, for tonight. I pray that You will bless this message. And Lord, that You'd help us to be informed, to see what Your Word says, and to live by what Your Word says. I pray Your blessing on the service this evening. I pray that You will bless the Lord's Supper to follow. We thank You, Lord, for the group gathered here tonight. And we pray, dear Lord, that we would be blessed and that we would be informed in this teaching time, dear Lord. And also, Lord, that we would make decisions in regards to worldliness in our own life. Oh, Lord, we're so tempted to allow the things of the world into our life. And I pray that tonight we'd be encouraged to see how dangerous they are, to see the results of some of those things. We pray your blessing. Pray that you give me clarity of thought and help my voice to hold out tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So, aren't all Baptists the same is the name of the series, and so we're looking at Southern Baptists tonight. So number one, so who are Southern Baptists? If you don't know who the Southern Baptist churches are, pretty much every other Baptist church in this town is Southern Baptist. There's a few independent Baptist churches, but mostly if you go over here to Westside Baptist, they're a Southern Baptist church. Skyline Baptist, they're a Southern Baptist church. Go over to Pershing Park Baptist Church, they're a Southern Baptist church. You go over to First Baptist, they're a Southern Baptist church. And I could go on and on. It seems in Texas especially, there's a Southern Baptist church on every corner, it would seem. Most even small towns, they don't have any other type of church, but they have a Southern Baptist church. So I'm not going to give you a complete history tonight, but here's a brief snapshot. It was formed as the Southern Baptist Convention was formed in Augusta, Georgia in 1845. So very old group of Baptists, and we're not going to go over tonight the different stances they've taken on slavery and race and different things like that. But more we're going to stick, and that's a biblical problem, that's not as much true today. But why are we not in agreement with them? You know, why can't we get along? There's people that say, well, why can't we just get along with other Baptist churches? Because we all believe the same thing. And it doesn't matter if it's an independent Baptist church or other. There's some churches that don't follow the Bible. And there's doctrines that they allow into the church that are not biblical. There are many issues that we don't agree with, but we'll focus on only one tonight. But here's a short list of ones that we don't agree with that are major. That the positions they take that go against Scripture. Number one is the Bible version controversy. Southern Baptist churches, very, 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 very few use the King James Version of the Bible. They all use the New Modern Versions. And that's going to be something covered actually in the beginning of summer, why we only use the King James Version of the Bible and why the others are so dangerous. Been reading a couple of books and really looking at the philosophy behind these new versions and the purpose for them actually will scare you if you hear what the people that translated these books say outright. They're not trying to hide it. So we're not going to delve into that, but also another issue is Calvinism in some congregations. There's a resurgence of Calvinism. I actually have as mentioned before, I have a C.H. Spurgeon Bible, King James Version of the Bible. Actually, that is printed and actually sold by the Southern Baptists. That's been promoted because more of them are becoming more Calvinistic in their theology. And to be honest, Spurgeon couldn't decide which way he wanted to go. He said he was a Calvinist, but he didn't preach like one. If you look at what he says, so it's interesting in that way. But one of the major issues as well is called ecumenicalism. Hey, let's all get along. We're all Christians. We all should just, you know, join hands, sing kumbaya, and put our differences aside. Southern Baptists in recent years have become very friendly with the Catholic Church and Protestant denominations and saying, hey, we agree, we all serve the same Jesus. Unfortunately, there's some major biblical problems with the Catholics and the Protestants' view of salvation that is not biblical, and it's salvation by works. How can we agree with that? We cannot. Lack of separation from the world, which is what we're going to focus on tonight. Also, a form of church government that is not in the Bible, a convention, a church government, that's not in New Testament Christianity or in the church there. The only offices that we see are that of pastor and deacon. That's it. We don't see bishops. We don't see an overarching convention. Though they would say they're not a church government body, they are. Anybody that's been a Southern Baptist church, that's how they function. Another is something more recently, in the last 10 years, growing acceptance in within the convention of Christian homosexuality. And we've gone over that. There's no such thing as Christian homosexuality. Homosexuality is an abomination to God. And there's no way that we can reconcile it with the Bible unless you twist the Bible to make it say what you want it to say. There is no agreement there. An acceptance of female pastors, that is becoming more and more. We're so thankful for women's role in teaching Sunday school classes and things, but according to Scripture, a woman's place is not to be in a pastoral authority position. It's not in the Bible. So though they're not senior pastors, they're pastor on the pastoral staff in different ways, teaching pastors, if you will. That is not scriptural. So some of the great leaders of the independent Baptist churches, fundamentalism, if you want to call it, in the mid-20th century, they were Southern Baptists. J. Frank Norris, up in Dallas. First Baptist Church of Fort Worth, Texas, In the early 1920s, he was kind of the first one to be targeted by the convention, was expelled from the Tarrant County Baptist Association and Texas Baptist Convention, which were all Southern Baptist. It was because he refused to use their Sunday school curriculum, which didn't use the right Bible version, and also the Bible version issue, and they refused to be part of the $75 million campaign, which was for missions. And actually, there was a lot of controversy at the time that their mission board, the money sent for missions, wasn't really going to missions. It was going to other things. And so they decided to go off on their own. John R. Rice, he was a Southern Baptist. But in 1927, the local affiliate of the Southern Baptist Convention tried to control the ministry of the young preacher John R. Rice. He had warned of the evolution being taught by Samuel Dow at Baylor University. Baylor University is a Southern Baptist school even to this day. And had been affiliating with J. Frank Norris and preaching on Norris's radio station. And a committee composed of two professors at Southwestern Baptist Seminary plus the pastor of Seminary Hill Baptist Church visited Rice. They gave him an ultimatum to stop warning of error in the convention and to break off his association with Norris, which he didn't, and he was run out of the convention. Lester Roloff, same thing happened. He was pastor of Second Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, which was a Southern Baptist church, and they kicked him out because he refused to follow. They call them a non-cooperative. They weren't cooperating with the convention. And there's a long list of Southern Baptist preachers who were going to stand for the Word of God, and they were forced out of the convention. Many of them lost their churches, started new churches, and saw them grow into something God used in a great way. So this was all in the 30s, 40s, and 50s. So that is where the heritage of that is where this church comes from. And that heritage of independent Baptist thought and Baptistic thought, really, it's the Bible. Amen? When there comes a time when an organization or a church has gone so far from the Bible that one must separate from it, and that's exactly what they did. So what we are going to focus on tonight is the issue of worldliness. So what are some things that are of concern, and what does the Bible say about it? So number two, here are examples of worldliness in the Southern Baptist Convention. I'm thankful to David Cloud. He wrote an article, Why I'm Not a Southern Baptist. He grew up in the Southern Baptist Church, and he has a lot of examples. He keeps updating his article, and so some of the things I'm going to give you are research. These are all news articles, things like that. I just like how he compiles it all in one place. So 1986, Southern Baptist support Baylor University began allowing campus dances. That's one thing. That was back in 1986. First Baptist Church of Dallas had, and this is in 2002, had a hard chorathon concert that kicked off a new youth ministry. A picture in the Dallas Morning News showed young people slam dancing the night away, as it says here. Most Southern Baptist churches have a drum set on their platform and electric guitars, basses. Not all, but many do. First Baptist in town here does. And they tend to have contemporary Christian music. First Baptist Church in Houston had an Elvis contest and Beatles music event. In 1994, Grace Point Church, formerly known as Castle Hill Church Northwest, held a dad and daughter Valentine dance. Of course, we don't agree with dancing, especially in the worldly sense. We see other issues with just dressing down and allowing the things of the world. Rick Warren is a Southern Baptist of Saddleback Church, The Purpose-Driven Life. Have you heard of that? Okay? Don't read it. Okay? It's a psychological self-help book is what that is. But he's Southern Baptist, and he's kind of their poster boy for the Southern Baptist out in California. 2007, a LifeWay survey found that 29% of Southern Baptist laity drink alcohol. That year, the Journey, a Southern Baptist church in St. Louis, pastored by Darren Patrick, opened its theology at the Bottle Works, which was advertised as a grab a brew and give your view. So, drinking at church. Crazy, crazy things. We could go on. In 2019, at Southern Baptist Convention, Birmingham, Alabama, top denominational leaders donned long-haired wigs and performed Lynyrd Skynyrd, Sweet Home Alabama, for the pleasure of SBC pastors in attendance. Crazy. And so who was that? Well, the wannabes were Kevin Easel, the president of the SBC Mission Board, and Ronnie Floyd, former SBC president and current president of the SBC Executive Committee. I don't know about you. If I ever did that, you'd kick me out of the church. And good for you should, by the way. Got up here and did something like that. Which is, oh, well, what's wrong with that? Well, that band in the 70s was known for license and basically do what you want. That was the philosophy they promoted. There's another not to be outdone, at the 2019 convention, SBC President J.D. Greer danced on stage with two other men to Whitney Houston's I Want to Dance with Somebody. So this is now, by the way, what is the convention meeting? This is a meeting of pastors and missionaries to discuss SBC business for the year. I don't know about you, but that's not something I want to be involved in. And 2 Timothy 4:3 and 4 says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables." But why is this happening? Because in most Southern Baptist churches, remember, not all, but most, there's not preaching about sin. There's not preaching about the dangers of worldliness and the dangers of the cultural things. There's not Bible preaching on those things. So we can see there's a great problem. But what should our response be? What should our response be? There is a great problem here. Now, I want also to, I'll get to that in a minute. So, but why are Southern Baptist churches and the convention, why are they following after, why is this happening? Why are they following after false doctrine? Well, because of one very important philosophy that was promoted in the 1950s. It's called neo-evangelicalism. And so what does that mean exactly? Well, it's a phrase promoted by Harold Akinga, or Gay, however you want to say it. And this is what he said, promoted, is basically separating from sin and separating from Bible error is not the right thing to do. Instead, we need to come alongside and we need to help bring people up and to change their views on their false doctrine. Let me ask you a question. Does that sound familiar to what's going on today? Is that going on in independent Baptist circles today? Absolutely is. Now, I understand that we should need to take a stand for the truth, and we don't need to, well, you know, you don't comb your hair right, we're going to separate from you, okay? Because unfortunately, there's some churches that do that. You know, we're going to separate from other preachers that don't wear white shirts. They wear a colored shirt, man, they're not of God. Okay, it gets that silly sometimes. And that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about they're getting up and they're preaching, well, you really don't need to worry. You can just do what you want. You can act how you want. You know what, if you want to go and sleep around and do those types, that's okay. Just come to church and God will forgive you. Just confess your sin, but you can still go live how you want. That is doctrinal error. That is not preaching the holiness of God, and that is what exactly Paul preached against in Romans chapter 6, verse number 1. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. God does not want it, and God does not desire that for our life. Well, I'm saved on my way to heaven. I can just do what I want. I have liberty. And these people are the ones that have redefined what Christian liberty is. Instead of it being that God has set us free from sin, we're free to serve Him. Hey, I can do what I want, and I can live how I want. I have liberty. God, Jesus did not die on the cross and pay your sin debt so you could go out and sin some more. That, if you want to think it through logically, it doesn't make any sense, especially when you read the Bible and you see how holy God is. God set us free from sin so that we might not be, what? Servants to sin. Praise God that we can be free from our sin. But what is a Bible believer's response? And this is what they said. Neo-evangelicalism, different from fundamentalism in its reputation of separatism and its determination to engage itself in the theological dialogue of the day. We have to be careful. You know what? What's the new theology for today? There is no new theology for today. Bible said forever settled in heaven. That's it. We need to have these discussions and we need to have these forums to talk about these different doctrinal positions. No, we don't. The Bible says that we believe it, that settles it. But that it doesn't make us culturally relevant. Okay? So what is a Bible believer's response? If you're taking notes, write these down. I'm going to kind of rapid fire here for a minute. So, Romans 16:17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. So someone that promotes Calvinism, someone that promotes lordship salvation, which is something we're going to learn about next week. We're going to get into Reformed Baptists, which is becoming increasingly popular among conservative independent Baptist churches. We're going to talk a little bit more about that next week and the pitfalls of that. But what are we to do? We're to look at them. We're to look at their doctrine, and we are to what? Mark them that cause divisions. Now, if somebody believes something different than you, that doesn't necessarily cause division. But someone that says they're promoting their position, they're promoting their false doctrine, and they are trying to sway the opinions of other people within the church, that's causing a division. Instead of sticking with the Bible, well, this is my interpretation of the Bible. First Peter says the Bible, there is no private interpretation of God's Word. It says what it says, and it's the same for everybody. Not certain people have this over here, and some people this over here, but simply what God says. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness?" For example, they're doing these, singing these songs and doing these dances of grossly worldly people that aren't even saved and are promoting sinful lifestyles, and that somehow belongs in God's house. Obviously not. We're to turn away from those things and not to yoke ourselves together with them. And for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? They don't go together. 2 Corinthians 11:3-4, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." We pause for a moment, The Christian life is simple. Amen? The Christian life is simple. The Christian life is easy. Well, I'm saying it's not easy. It is easy to be understood if we look at what God's Word says. It's simple. And sometimes we like to complicate it by trying to make God's Word work for us. To allow some people spend a whole lot of time studying their Bible to figure out how they can do something instead of just saying, you know what, if there's not a clear answer and if it's something that's questionable, probably shouldn't do it. But they spend a lot of time saying, see, there's a verse, there's a loophole here, I can get away with this. No, that's not what God's saying here. The simplicity that is in Christ. "For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him." So what is this? What is this talking about? Preaches another Jesus. There's a movement to bring the lordship of Jesus down to that of a common person. You know, there's a shirt that Jesus is my homeboy. That's another Jesus. That's not my Jesus. That's not the Jesus of the Bible either. There's another Jesus. The Jesus of the Mormons is not the Jesus of the Bible. The Jesus of Islam is not the Jesus of the Bible. The Jesus even of the Jews is not the Jesus of the Bible. How they view him and how what they have rejected in him. And Jehovah's Witnesses, their Jesus is not the Jesus of the Bible. And how they view him and how they view God. Also their God, the God of Islam, Allah, is not the God of the Bible. And we could go on and on. And so if they preach or teach or bring any other doctrine that affects who Jesus is and who God is, His Godhead and the divinity of Jesus, the attacks on the virgin birth, and we look at the new Bible versions, and that's exactly what they attack. They make it less clear who Jesus is. They make it less clear who God is. And when we get into that series, there's a lot of examples that I can give. I try not to put people into overload during that series, okay? You're going to be in overload, okay? Because there's a lot more. We've kind of done the basics. Now we're going to dive in a little deeper, so I'm going to warn you for that. I'm not going to tell you what it is, so you can't go on vacation during that time. Anyway, so Ephesians 5:11, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." What does that say? Call them what they are. Call it sin. Don't have fellowship with it. Let's not try and get along with it. 2 Timothy 2:15-18, "Study to shew thyself approved unto God." Remember, approved unto God, not unto the culture, not unto what's palatable to people, not according what's popular, according to the latest poll. "A workman that needeth to not be ashamed, so rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow, overthrow the faith of some. What are we to do? We are to study what God's Word says and stick with just what the Bible says. 2 Timothy 3:5, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Talking about false teachers. Turn away from them. Don't listen to them. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. 1 John 4:1. Let me pause here for a moment. I just want to pause for a moment. So these people that believe in these things, that believe in Calvinism, okay, that believe in non-separation from the world, believe in ecumenicalism and new evangelicalism, why are we reading their books? I mean, I've been kind of shocked lately. I've been talking to some very prominent independent Baptist pastors. Oh, yeah, this is a great book. Southern Baptist, ecumenical, to the hill. Calvin read that particular book, and he was like, oh, yeah, it's a great book. Why are we reading their books if they don't have their doctrine straight? Because if that's not straight, then what they say is not going to be line up with what the Bible says. Now, will they have some good things to say? Right? Hey, guess what? Everybody has some. Even the Pope has some good things to say. It doesn't make him right. Man, even Biden has some good things to say, right? Sometimes. Doesn't make him right, okay? And all of these things. Everybody can say some good things every once in a while. Hey, Buddha has some good things. Doesn't make him right. Joseph Smith said some good things. Doesn't make him right. Well, Pastor, I wouldn't read Joseph Smith. I wouldn't read behind Buddha. Then don't read behind these people who have their doctrine messed up. There's too many other good books that good people have written that are there for us to read. But for some reason, I don't know why this is, and you need to be careful of this, young people. Anybody that's called the ministry, be careful of this. If that, hey, we have to be in touch with the latest and the greatest. We have to be in touch with what's new. And I'm not saying that new books that come out, I mean, guess what? Brother Starr's books, then they come out. They're new books, people. Well, you know what? His viewpoint is old. Good. The new stuff stinks. Okay? You see churches falling apart, the whole emerging church movement, all of that. You don't want it. So if they're tainted with those thought processes, let's not read their books. There's too many other good books. Pastor Harvey, we have his library up there. And guess what? There's some good old books. I put it on my bookshelf. I stole it. No. I have all of Oliver B. Green's books. And guess what? You want a man that didn't mince words? You knew where he was. I believe he used to be a Southern Baptist as well and came out of the convention as well. And these people, they were too strong for them. And so they came out and they wrote and they preached and God used them in a great way. I hope Brother Ross shares his testimony in that his father got saved, became a preacher. They were American Baptist. American Baptist. And so then he didn't know that they were off doctrinally because someone sent him a subscription to the Sword of the Lord. And so he began to learn and train for the ministry by reading the Sword of the Lord, Dr. John R. Rice's paper, and run by Shelton Smith now. And so he learned all that. He listened to those sermons from Oliver B. Green. He started reading Oliver B. Green's books and learned, hey, I'm in the wrong, this is the wrong group of Baptists. They don't have right doctrine. So he had to separate from them and start an independent Baptist church. And that's the church that Jerry Ross preaches today, Blessed Hope Baptist Church in Jasonville, Indiana. They took some stands for some things. 1 John 4:1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Oh, there's lots of false prophets out there. It seems the longer time goes on, the more there are. Need to make sure, try them, see whether they're of God. 2 John 1:8 through 11. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Jude 1:3, beloved, when I give all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And there are other verses, but we'll stop there. So very clear, the Bible is not silent in this matter. If we see what is going on in these churches, then as a follower of Christ, we cannot accept it or make excuse for it. We must be committed to keeping pure doctrine in our churches. These are small differences. These are major trespasses against the Word of God. And for those who hear this message who are in an unscriptural church, maybe you're listening tonight on streaming or you can listen to this later, I encourage you to leave and find a church that preaches the Word of God. Separation is not a bad thing. Separation seems to be the dirty word today because, well, that means, you know, and unfortunately, separation has gotten a bad rap from people who have done it in an incorrect way, who have promoted being arrogant about it and just, you know, the fighting fundamental, just fighting with everybody. That's not how Christ would have us to be. However, taking a stand for what's right is not incorrect. That is why independent Baptist churches have grown in the last 60 to 70 years because of those who want to follow only the Bible and not a church government convention, which is quickly shedding all biblical moorings. And this is not just Southern Baptists, but other groups of Baptists. There's many others. I could spend probably a couple months going through all little subsections of different things, but we're trying to deal with some main ones that you will run across. But tonight, are there some things in your life that are more in fellowship with the world and the devil than they are with God's Word? You know they're wrong according to the Bible. You know it's a wrong thing to think. You know it's a wrong thing to do. You know it's a wrong thing to listen to. You know it's the wrong people you're hanging around. You know it's wrong. But you make excuses for it. And this was what the sad thing, I've met a lot of people that are in a Catholic church or you name the type of church. They don't agree with the church. They believe the Bible. They live by the Bible. But yet they make excuses for their church because that's just where we've always gone to church. There are a lot of people in Southern Baptist churches today. They don't agree with where the Southern Baptist Church Convention's at. They don't agree with where their church is going. They don't agree with the music. They don't agree with the worthiness, but they just have such deep roots, they're unwilling to separate from it. They're unwilling to step aside, to take a stand, because it's easier just to get along and to make excuses for it than to step out and say, this is wrong, I can't be a part of this. And so tonight, separation is a hard thing for anyone to do, but that does not make it less necessary. So tonight, do you need to separate from some things in your life? Do you need to separate from some friends that are pulling you down spiritually? Do you need to separate from some worldly things in your life? Maybe it's some apps on your phone that you need to delete because they influence you the wrong way. Maybe it's some social media accounts that you need to delete because they're pulling you away from God. Maybe there's some friends that need to be taken off your Facebook account because they're constantly presenting filth on your newsfeed. Maybe you need to separate from some entertainment choices that you're making because they're dragging you down and they're not lifting you up and they're pulling you away from God and His Word. And you know they're wrong biblically, you know they're wrong. And guess what? None of us are perfect. All of us have struggles. Here at Tabernacle Baptist Church, we are not perfect. Amen? If you're perfect, raise your hand. We're not a perfect church. But we do strive the best way we knew how to be biblical in our living and where we stand doctrinally. So tonight, if there's an area of your life that you need God to work on, we let Him work on it tonight. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that You bless our time of invitation tonight. We thank You, Lord, for Your Word. And we're so thankful that we can know where to stand because Your Word is so clear. We're thankful for the heritage of pastors and preachers and evangelists that have come on before, that have laid the groundwork, that have fought the battles. Now we get to stand in a place of blessing because they have stood strong. We thank You for Pastor Harvey and the many years of preaching faithfully from this pulpit against the things that I mentioned tonight, rightly dividing the word of truth. We're so thankful for the heritage of this church. And Lord, this church has had to face battles, has not been popular at many times in its history because it simply stood for Bible truth. We're thankful for it. Tonight I pray that as we examine ourselves in the light of Your Word, and Lord, if we've been found wanting, that we would find forgiveness and restoration in Yourself. Prepare us for the Lord's Supper time. Prepare us to partake. And I pray that we take time to examine ourselves tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.